I'm going to start the book of Ephesians today. We're going to start teaching the book of Ephesians. We went through the book of Romans, and now we're going to be going through the book of Ephesians. Praise the Lord. One of the things that we need to remember is that Apostle Paul, last study that we had in Romans, we had the there in the book of Acts where Apostle Paul was captured by the Jewish leaders, but then was thrown into the prison and eventually had to be taken away to prison in Rome. And so if you turn to the book of Ephesians in your Bible, and if your Bible says what my Bible is, right at the front there, top, the very part, first part, it tells us that this book of Ephesians was written from Rome. Apostle Paul was in prison. They put him back over there in prison. I read an article not too long ago that told part of the time they had him in a great big concrete, like a big old pot thing that they stored things in. And at one point they had him down inside of that thing. That was his prison. And eventually we know that if you read in the book of Acts, and it's a good thing to do, you know, you'll see that at one point he was actually moved into a little apartment thing. And they let the Christians come in to see him there. And he had a meeting in there. So it's a good thing to read the book of Acts, you know. So you learn a lot of things from that. So this book of Ephesians was written from Rome while he was over there. And the people of Ephesians, the kind of people they were before they came to know Christ. And if you look on your map in the back of your Bible, you can find where this is. And this city was, they worshiped Diana, a idol and things that they believed. They worshiped Artemis, and these were all characters that were mythical, you know, and Ashtaroth. And when Apostle Paul, he eventually, before he got arrested, he was there in that area. If you look in your map and find out where this is, I say that again because it's important to think of it. It's in what is now Turkey, okay? And there in that place, he taught the word of God. He taught them the truth. And now when he writes to the Ephesians, you can see what growth and what wonderful change from worshiping idols. They're worshiping the Lord Jesus, and they're worshiping God the Father. They are victors in Christ. And this is just a precious book, this Ephesian book. So hallelujah that the Lord is so faithful. We'll bow our heads and ask the Lord to just bless this word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word and for the preciousness of this Bible that we have, Father, that we can read right for ourselves and by the power of the Holy Spirit to know what is said in the word of God. And it's so important for us. Lord, I pray that you will just bless us now as we go into this study and give us faith and victory in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Now, originally in Paul's ministry, he went here to this group of people there. And about 54 BC or 55 to 57, he was ministering to them there. But now he's in prison, so he's writing to them now from prison in Rome. Praise the Lord. So we're going to begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we can read it too, because we're the others. We're not Ephesians. We're not some foreign country like that. We are people now who are faithful in Christ Jesus, trusting the Lord. We all are, that we're being faithful in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So apostle, he was an apostle, a great leader of the truth of God's word, and he wrote 14 books in the New Testament. and so glad that even though he was in prison, he could write. And so he was the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And you know that we had that in Acts 19, 1 through 10, where Paul was going to kill the Christians. And he was leaving Jerusalem, going on up north. He was going to kill the Christians. He was going to arrest the Christians. And he had been doing that. And praise the Lord, God knocked him down on the ground and spoke to him and said, "I'm the Lord God speaking to you. You better do what I say." Not exact words, but you know, if you want to read that, you can look back in chapter 19 of Acts 1 through 10 and just read that and see how wonderful that was, that God just stopped him right in his tracks and said, "You're doing things that I'm not pleased with. So you're going to be a person who's going to go forth and minister to these people." And so that's exactly what he did. He went and he ministered to the people. Glory to God. God is so good. And so notice that it says, the saints are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we can read of this and just, it's just so wonderful to be able just to read the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So going on the next verse, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the wonderful things that we have that the Lord has given to us, one of them is grace. 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 Unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. That's what it means. Unmerited favor is the meaning of the word grace. And we don't deserve it. But the Lord shows his love to us, and he gives us more grace all the time. He just is so faithful to us. I'm so thankful that we know about the merciful kindness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So precious. I wanted to go back to verse 1 just a moment because I wanted to say something else there. But it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is a word, the will here, that also could be prescribed by the word predestination. And so another word that we're going to hopefully get to that's right here in this text. But what it means was God planned it. God sought it. God sought Paul. And he gave him the ability to learn the word of God and to be a faithful person in Christ. Praise the Lord. So he was designated to be this person. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In the fullness of times, he came into his part that God wanted him to have. All right, so back to verse 2 then. Grace be to you. That was what Paul's theme was in all of the writings that he wrote, was the grace of God. Grace is a marvelous thing. It's what God gives to us freely. We don't do a bunch of works to get grace and favor from God. We believe. By believing and by faith, we are given the grace of God to take care of us. And also notice peace. And it's from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get this peace. You know, we all have trials. We all have family members. My dear cousin that I've loved so much passed away, and I'm going to be going to her funeral down in Oklahoma this week. She was a dear child that I, as just a young kid, asked her if she knew Jesus, and we got down by the car and prayed. We were outside in the yard, and so we prayed. Her parents, who know God, knew the Lord, but weren't walking with God, never had taught their children that they could be born again. But her name is Charlotte, and she's now with the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So how we praise our Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ for blessing us so much. What would we do without God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? We would not be very much, would we? But notice in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He just couldn't seem to stop. talking about God the Father and the Holy and the Lord Jesus Christ as being so wonderful to him. And he said, blessed are they, blessed are these ones. And I have a little thing there that I had written out when I looked up the meaning, and it means exceedingly graced. And that's what our Heavenly Father is. He has all the good nature, all the good character. He is a God of love. That's what the scripture says. God is love. That's how the word is worded. God, our blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did he do? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And to me, when I read that, all spiritual blessings, it means a huge amount. God does not just give us a little bitty thing. He gives us all the blessings of God. As we walk with him, we yield to him, we want him to work in our lives, and we're willing to let him do it, and we ask him to do it. He loves us so much that he just gives us all the beautiful things, the spiritual blessings, oh, hallelujah, in the heavenly places in Christ. Praise the Lord. Speaking about heavenly places, you know, it's where Christ is right now. He's waiting to come back. One of these days, he's going to call his people up there. And when that trumpet sounds, the people who are ready to go to be with the Lord will go away to be with the Lord. It will happen at the first part of the tribulation, and they won't have to go through the tribulation, according to the scripture. This is the Christians that really walk with God and yield to God. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Did you ever wonder about that? How did God know to start dealing with us about salvation? Because we were in his mind before the world ever began. Praise the Lord, as it says there, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before he said, let there be light, let there be. He had in his mind that we were going to be in the scene with him. We were going to be his children. And so it says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what the Lord desires from our heart. And when he saved us, he gave us ability to follow him and to walk with him and yield to him. Glory to God. And so as it says there, that we should be holy. He's not talking about any self-righteousness or any something we put on, you know, try to make people think we're holy. That's not what he's talking about. The only way that we can become holy, and we have, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now we have Jesus in us, and that is definitely a holy life. Jesus' life is holy. And as we yield to that working in the Lord in our lives, we also will manifest being yielded, being holy, being pleasing to God, following God. I wrote in my Bible that this is our standing in the presence of God. We are the children of the living God. Hallelujah. And notice he says, and without blame before him, in love. That is so important. Our Lord deals with us in love. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he a wonderful God? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in verse 5, we have an interesting study here. And it's that word predestinated again. And so read verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, God goes by his will, what he decides to do. He doesn't always go by what we think. He goes by what he decides to do. And this word predestinated, it means, this is what it means now if you look the word up, to limit in advance to determine before. So when God chose to give us Jesus Christ as our Savior, it wasn't something he just came out of clear air, you know, oh, that's what I should be doing to those people on earth, giving them Jesus. That wasn't it at all. It is a limit in advance. God had a plan from the beginning, as I just said a while ago, and he planned it, and it was what was going to happen. That's what happens with God. He says a thing, and it happens. When he said, let there be light, light immediately started, because he's God. He's the one who does everything. And so predestinated means this, limit in advance, and it means determine this at a before time. So that is so marvelous, because it goes with the scripture that we study about how God dealt with things. He had a plan, and you know what? Even way back there before the foundation of the world, he knew that you were going to be a child of his. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing. Praise the Lord. I just love that, to think of God and his love for us and all his care. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. As he says there now, he chose us before unto adoption of the children. The adoption. Now this word, you know, all of us know what adoption is, don't we, in the natural. This word does not mean the same thing we think about. A lot of times a child can be adopted and then the parents decide they don't want them, and, you know, it's not a faithful time, a time of security. This word adoption here means son placing. That's what it means in the Greek. S-O-N, son placing. Now, what does that mean to us? That God, when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he places us in his thoughts and in his presence. We are the sons of God. We are the children of the living God. That is so wonderful. So he has predestined us to go into this place unto the adoption of children, or the son placing of children of God. And how is it that it's worked? By Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for all of us to be saved. And our salvation is when we cry out for Jesus to come into our life. When we say, Lord God, let me have Jesus in me. Bring that in, that Son of God. And we have an inner thing that we are the children of the living God. Children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm sure when Jesus died on the cross, that was a hard thing. You know, he was a human being, but yet he was the Son of God, and it was painful and it was horrible, and all the suffering that he went through. But it did give him great pleasure to know that he was redeeming, he was bringing to him the people of God. It was very, very wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. It was his good pleasure. Notice that. Hallelujah. In one passage of another type of this, it says it was God's delight. It was God's delight that the Son gave that his life for the salvation of anyone who would believe in him. Praise the Lord. So in verse 6 then, this tells us what our acceptance as God's children causes. This is what I wrote on my notes. So let's read that. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. When we come to know the Lord, we learn to praise the Lord, praise him for the blessings and everything that he does. It's a continual praise. His desire is what he wants. He wants to hear us to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, thank you so much for helping me. Thank you for being with me. That is such a blessing to him, to get hear our voice speak up about that. So it's a praise of the glory of his grace, the blessings and all the things that come with his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. That word accepted, you know, we have it in English here, but a lot of times when you look up what that word in the original would have meant, this is what it meant. We are highly favored. Not just accepted, highly favored. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are with special honors. We're the children of the living God. It's a special honor. A lot of people out there in the world aren't children of the living God. How precious it is for us to know that I am a child of God. You have rights because you're a child of God. Hallelujah. And you can cry out to God for help, and he will help you. He is so faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. I just love this. And then notice in the latter part of that verse 6, it says, and made us accepted in the beloved. There should have been a capital B right there. Who is the beloved? It's God's own son, Jesus Christ. He is the beloved son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. The word in the, if you look up in, you know, where you can find the meaning of what the word would have been, it means a ransom in full. There had to be a payment or we would not be saved. And Jesus Christ bore that on the cross. He went there willingly and suffered great pain and sorrows. Ransom in full, deliverance, Christ's work on the cross. Praise the Lord. It liberates the believers. And we are set away from misery and penalty of our sins and from the slave markets of darkness. Like slaves on the market, in the market of the olden times in the Bible, that's what they did. They would take people from one country, the Romans especially, and drag them off somewhere else and sell them all as slaves. Praise the Lord. Christ's work on that cross. He liberated us from all the misery and the penalty of our sins and from the slave market of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And in that seventh verse, notice what it says there. In whom we have redemption through his blood. It took the blood of Christ to give us salvation. It was wonderful. He was willing to do all of that. The forgiveness of sins. That's, oh, precious Lord. Thank you so much. For the word forgiveness also in the original means to pardon. He pardoned our sins. He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. And it means remission. In other words, we're not accounted as a sinner right now. It's remitted. God took it away. And it also speaks of freedom. Glory to God. We have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And in verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, let's look at that. The Lord has given us the riches of his grace, the latter part of verse 7, that inside of that grace and the riches of his grace that he has given to us, he hath abounded. That isn't just a little tiny thing. It means a great big amount, a great big thing that came from God. He abounded toward us. And in the original, I think it says superabound in quantity and quality, to be in excess and to excel. That's what that word means in the Greek. When he says he abounded toward us, he really did it. Hallelujah. He surrounded us with quantity and quality and excess and excelled toward us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Precious, isn't it, to realize we have a lot more than we think we do when we read the Bible. And it was all toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Hallelujah. Wisdom is a mental action or activity that's intellectual or moral insight. God caused it to come into us so we understand what he's saying. He's telling us that we have grace, we have his love, we have a new life. He has given us all the wisdom and the prudence, everything that goes with it, for us to understand what we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you glad? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and read verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The word mystery there can also be interpreted as secret. And, you know, a lot of people don't even try to study God's word. And really, they don't understand very much because they don't ever study it. They don't try to find out a meaning. But this right here, according to his will, that's very important in our lives. He reveals his divine will to us because he wants us to be like him. He reveals it to us. He shows us what he is in character, and then he asks us to follow me. He says, follow me. Come on, walk with me according to his good pleasure. Oh, hallelujah. And that means a delight, to be delighted. Jesus and God the Father are so delighted over us when we yield our lives to God. He is so pleased. It's just wonderful. I know all of us that have kids, you know, we always were so happy if our kids obeyed us and if the kids were doing the right thing. But that's how God is. And it was very sad when they didn't do the right thing, too, I can tell you that. But praise the Lord. God is so pleased. He has such good pleasure in us. Hallelujah. He is delighted in us as the children of God. Verse 10. And all of this, we might say, that we're talking about here, of being yielded to God, God being delighted in us according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed it in himself. It's going to be in God's care, God's power to do it, isn't it? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth and in him. Now, we understand, most of us do, what a dispensation is. It's just a period of time in which God tests humanity's obedience to a particular revelation of his, something he wants. Now, if we look back on time, we know there was innocence, and it just went on down through, down on down to the law, and then to the grace teaching, grace message that we're living in right now. And then it's going to be the kingdom age. And there are all of those, and I've taught them to you before. There are seven periods of time that God has used to test man, different ones. And so, praise the Lord. This is the way that the Lord is working. This dispensation, this period of time, and it's going to be very soon that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back again. And it's going to be a great change in everything. And notice that he wants to gather together in one, all everything gathered together in one. Who's the one? In Jesus. In Jesus' will. Jesus the King. Jesus the Lord coming back again. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. And we're going to read one more verse, and we're going to stop. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things under the counsel, after the counsel of his own will. Praise the Lord. So that's the way God has worked. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. We have a great blessing, don't we, to look forward to. And it's our place to yield to God and be ready for that, to be able to have that great inheritance in God. There will be different groups of people in heaven, some who really walk with God and yield their lives to God. And then there's that great number that we read over in Revelation that don't get there until into the tribulation time. And so there's different things like that, that we know God is going to give his wonderful, wonderful benefits in heaven in this inheritance that we can have from God. Being predestinated, in other words, it's being done beforehand. God has a plan. He's worked it out according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He has a will, and he looks down and he looks at us, and he is so great that he can know every one of us and know everything we do and everything that we want to do and every bit of what we want to yield to him and everything that we don't want to yield to him. Hallelujah. So it's so precious to just go through the Word of God. We'll just pick up there next time, Lord willing, and teach some more from this.